Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Yes, Lord, we worship your holy name today, and I thank you for it. That in that name we find healing, in that name we find deliverance, in that name we find our salvation. And we gather in that name today, the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ. I seek that you would speak to us afresh today. You already have been, but translate to our hearts by the Holy Spirit what it is you want to do. I thank you that each of us can go home overflowing today, that each of us this week can be a blessing and can touch the lives of people in your name. I thank you that every person in this room is a bearer of your name and that every person can make a difference in this city for your name.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we bless this city, and I thank you that as your church meets today, you would bless them abundantly. We thank you that the body of Christ is one, and all the more you would make us one with them and them with us. And I thank you for the church of Rockhampton being whole and holy and powerful, and this city knowing of the things of God being done in the church. Lord, I thank you. You hear our prayers. And I thank you that there in your presence is fullness of joy. Let us have fun today.
Yes.
Let us just enjoy you day by day, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Early on in my season of courtship, you might say, with Sally, my wife, she planned a special day for my birthday. And the idea was we would go over to Stratty and, I don't know, hang out. And it's early on, so we don't really know each other. And so not only is it a gift, but it's, you know, time together. So we had this great day. It was awesome weather. It's so fine and blue skies and the beach and whatever you do at Stratty. You got to get the barge across. You drive your car onto the barge goes over. And, but it was really, the day was culminating to this time when she would give me a gift. She hadn't really given me a gift like this before. She'd put a lot of thought into it. She'd put a bit of money into it. And she presents me with this gift, and I'm like, "Hey, thanks." I opened it up. It was like this big. It was a box. I didn't know what was in it. I opened it up. And there was a watch. And my reaction was, "Oh, a watch." So you can imagine what she's thinking, putting all the effort into the gift. And I'm not thinking much. I'm probably really excited on the inside, but I don't realize I'm nonchalant about some stuff. I don't get excited sometimes. And so in a relationship, you learn what each person is like in giving and receiving, and so I'm getting better at receiving gifts. I remember one person who was a guy from the States. He came for a youth camp here, and he was given a gift of a t-shirt, a Harley Davidson t-shirt. I remember when he unwrapped that gift, and he's like, "What in the world? Whoa!" And he puts the shirt on, and he's like, "Thank you so much. Look at this shirt." I'm not quite like that. But maybe between where I am and where he is, I can try and be. Can you think of a gift that you've been given, either for a birthday or something else that is a standout gift? And it could be a standout gift either because it's a good gift or maybe because it's a bad gift. We get all kinds of gifts. I remember when we got married, we were able to do this gift registry thing where you get to choose the gifts you want. Which seems kind of rude, but you're starting your house, you're starting your home, your family, and you can say, "Well, I want this and I want that." I don't know what I really wanted, except one thing was a coffee grinder. I thought, you know what, maybe someone will have it on their heart to buy that thing, and they didn't. Everything else got ticked off, bought, purchased, whatever. Anyways, eventually I got it. Someone heard and they gave Sally some cash and said, "You go and get Johnny his grinder. So I got it after all. But my great-grandmother, who, she would have been really late 90s, she was almost passing away. And she made this request of my cousin. She said, "Ashley, you really need to get John and Sally this gift." And we kept hearing about this gift that he had to get us, and we didn't know what it was. And he kept telling us, "Oh, I'm still trying to find that thing that Mary has asked me to get." And so this anticipation was building what this gift was going to be. And it was way late when we got that gift, way late. So she had already passed away, and I don't know, we'd maybe forgotten about it, and then something arrives, and it's the gift from Mary for Sally and I, and unwrapped it, and my initial response was probably like the watch, right? And I'm going to show you what the gift is. So this is it. It's this little pressed tin piece. It's not a print. Copper kind of colors. We have a picture of it on the screen. But it has the words, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." It's kind of an odd gift because it's special because it's from her. It's got such an important message on it, but it's really hard to put up in my house. And so since I've received it, it actually doesn't have a place yet in my house. And every so often it'll be on my desk, and then it'll be like, "Where's that thing?" "Oh, it's in the drawer." And even to find it today, I had to pull it out. But every so often it's on my mind. It's like, get that thing out. Put it up where you can see it. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. But it doesn't really have a place. You know, the other stuff that I've got has a place. My coffee grinder is on my bench and I hardly ever use it. We have pots and pans and we have all this other stuff that we got, and towels and, I don't know, all sorts of things. We got this pasta maker that we tried. I don't know, grease kept getting on the pasta sheets when we're putting them through. I don't know what's happening. Anyways, all those things we use, this thing doesn't have a place yet. Last week, David shared a scripture with us, which we all know, where Solomon was dedicating the temple. And the Lord appeared to Solomon, and the part that David shares was, you know, when I say, you're going to know, you know, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," it's 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, "then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land." Right before God says this, in verses 11, in verse 12, it says that the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, "I have heard your prayers." And then he goes on with this section. But what was Solomon praying? So before this really famous verse, Solomon has already had some time where he's been in prayer for God's people. And I just want to take a little bit of time to look at that right now. So in the chapter before, you don't have to go there, I'll read it out. In the chapter before, in chapter 6, Solomon has got everything ready. He's built this temple. He's got all these sacrifices ready. He's got everything in place. And he starts praying for the people. He starts praying for the temple. He says, "Hear the supplications of your servant and your people, Israel. When they pray toward this place, hear from heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive." So Solomon is interceding for the people. He's standing in the place. He's saying, "Lord, when these people pray, hear. When these people sin, forgive. When your people have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, When they turn back and give praise to your name, praying and making supplication, hear from heaven, forgive the sin of your people, and bring them back to the land you gave them and their ancestors. He goes on even further. There's a whole section here. You should go and read it. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, when they pray towards this place and give praise to your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven. Forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. And it concludes, his long prayer concludes with this statement. He says, "Now arise, Lord God, come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests, let God be clothed with salvation. May your faithful people rejoice in goodness. Let God do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to your servant David." And it says when Solomon finished praying, that fire came down from heaven. It consumed all the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the temple because the glory was so thick. So before we get to even the famous bit that we know, earlier on, Solomon stood there and he prayed this prayer and he interceded for the people. And he said, "Lord, hear their prayers and do this." And what got me thinking is we don't have a temple anymore, do we? We are. So what does this mean for us today? We still have a temple, it's us. We still have priests, they're us. And we have someone who's greater than Solomon who has interceded for us, Jesus Christ. And having interceded for us on the cross, our lives, our bodies can be filled like that temple was filled. And he has prayed, the Lord Jesus has declared things so that in the way that he said, Solomon said, "Lord, hear their prayer." Jesus spoke to the Father, said, "Hear their prayer. Jesus, make them one." All these things we have in a more complete form through Jesus. The beginning of this section with Solomon speaking here, he says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had wanted to do, when the Lord appeared and said, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices." Again, it reminds me of the verse that says, "Present your body as a living sacrifice." And God says, "When I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among the people." Then it goes on to that bit we know. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land." I've been thinking, obviously there are needs in our nation, and obviously there are needs in our own life, in our families, in Rockhampton, our city. And I wonder if sometimes we have to be careful not to be like when they went into the promised land and they said the giants are there and they're huge. Because no matter what's going on out there, the needs that we have to pray for out there, the instruction of Scripture is that it starts here. And it starts in this temple. And it starts with this priest. and starts with this heart and my hands. And I feel like to just go further from where we were last week, to take moments to think, are our hands clean? Are we ready to be filled all the more? Like, we need to pray for our city, but we have to start here. And each of you, it doesn't matter how much experience you have in prayer, your prayers make a difference. It doesn't matter how good you feel like you can pray, your prayers make a difference. They make a huge difference. And just like this thing doesn't really have a place in my home yet, it needs to find a place in my heart where more things are wrought by prayer. That thing becomes my place. Prayer becomes my place. So the thing that seems like the gift you don't know where to put is actually the gift that makes the most difference. And Christ has created this atmosphere for us where our prayers change things, not because of who you are. You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be up here. You don't have to be anyone special. Your prayers make a difference because of Christ, putting faith in God that He would do things. In 1949, two elderly women, one completely blind, one frail with arthritis, were quite frustrated at the state of their local community, so they started to pray. It is said by the minister who was over them in the church that they didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the Holy Spirit, but they knew God and they wanted to pray. They started to pray. They called their minister to pray, and their prayers started what was the Hebrides revival. And the 300 people in their packed little church, when they finished their service, they went outside to see 600 people waiting there. Those 600 people had just wandered from dance halls, nightclubs. We're on the floor just saying, God, how can I be saved? The police station was surrounded by hundreds of people because there was a police officer there that knew God. And the people were drawn there. And the reports were that some of those people were kneeling. Your prayers make a difference. Sometimes when we hear about revival or we hear about prayer, revival can sometimes, sorry if it seems crude, can feel like this thing. It can feel a bit like, yeah, it happened. Yeah, it's true. But is it for today? Does it really have a place in our hearts? But it does have a place. God hasn't changed. And those things that He has done in the past, He can do today. And He wants to do today. But for those things to happen, it starts with us. It starts like this scripture says, if my people, if the state of certain things in our nation goes a certain way that we don't like, we've got to come back to us too. I say this of myself. I can say, like Psalm 24, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands, pure heart. But we also know that God is good. We've been singing it. So in the same way that we need Him, He's with us. But I wonder today, if we take a few moments now to think about this scripture and think of our own hearts and where we are at before God. That He may send rivers of refreshing upon us. So we're going to take a few moments in the silence for each of us to do business with God. And And he's quick to meet us. Standing before him and praying before him is your place. You deserve to be there, not because of who you are, but because of what Christ has done. Never let the enemy say, oh, no, you're not good enough, or you can't come today, just do it later, or you haven't prayed much, so what's the point? Your place is before him. It's a secure place. And he has said, come boldly. Do business with him now. I wonder if there would be just one or two regular people of peace that would be willing to just pray a bit of a representative prayer of repentance on behalf of God's people, of, you know, maybe being not praying enough or not being clean, or would there be anyone that would do that today? Come forward.
Father God, we get busy, and Lord, I would just ask that you would forgive us for when we are busy and our lack of devotion to you and our lack of prayer time with you. Just ask, Father, that you would cleanse us of these sins and ask for your grace, Lord, and that from today we would have fresh desire for you, fresh hunger for you, Lord, that you would stir that up in us. And we would come to you each and every day and sit before you, Lord, and acknowledge how wonderful you are and allow you to move in our hearts. Lord, it's our own business, it's our own lack of time with you that we feel dry and we feel lost at times. So Father, I just ask that you would help us. Lord, I say again, we are weak, but you are strong, and I just thank you for that.
Thank you, Alan. Would there be one more? Thank you, Tavis.
Yes, Father, I just come before you, Lord, and acknowledge that as humans, we are so proud. We're so interested in ourselves, in our own agenda, and just serving ourselves, Lord God. And Lord, we just want to repent on behalf of the church of just being self-interested and being self-serving, and Lord, putting so little interest and effort into, Lord, making your kingdom great here on the earth. And for Lord Jesus, exalting ourselves, exalting our own ideas and our own plans. And Father, I just thank you that you are merciful. And Lord Jesus, on behalf of the church, I just renounce that spirit of pride, the spirit of self, and everything that hinders us from truly embracing who you are and what our lives are meant to be about in pursuing you and finding you and serving you. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you that it is your spirit that works in us and breaks the yoke of everything that sits upon us, Lord, every single stronghold, every single bondage, and every single lie that we believe. I thank you that you are the one who breaks those shackles. And so, Lord, I ask of the church that you would break the shackles of pride and of self-interest and of worldliness and of the mixture that we find ourselves in so often, Lord God. So I just praise you, Lord, that you will do this, for you are faithful.
Lord, I want to thank you that you sympathize with us because you were tempted in every way that we were. And only a holy God could be as merciful and loving as you are. We thank you for that. And you have told us to draw near. You've told us to be bold. You've told us that nothing separates us from your love. So we are accepted, but Lord, this day we pray and we are sorry for when we're not clean. We're sorry for how we may not have stood where we should stand, or where we may have been prideful, or where we may have been prayerless, or where we may have been cold, or where we may have judged people and assumed that the state of their own hearts was their own fault, instead of seeking on their behalf. So Lord, hear our cry this day and wash us afresh. I ask that the gift of prayer and faith would be given to everyone here afresh, where prayer would become so easy, that the Holy Spirit would fill us afresh, that our temples be full of your glory this day, O God. And I thank you, you hear us. And may each of us in this place know our place before the Father and be secure there. And when we go to pray, it'll be like coming home. That when we sing songs to you, it'll be like coming home. Because that is where our soul finds rest, in you, O Lord. So I thank you this day that you hear our prayers, and I thank you that you will change this nation. I thank you for turning the hearts of the people in this city back to you. I thank you, Lord, that the people of Rockhampton will become more God conscious. They begin to ask us questions. They begin to go to church. We're going to see an uptake in RI programs in schools. We're going to see changes in the university. Lord, we express faith over our city that it is not the way that it's meant to be, and the giants that we see are not bigger than you, and you've brought down many a Goliath, many a Jericho before. And so we speak to this city and thank you that your kingdom comes, your will done in this city. Barriers and walls are falling and your gospel will go out. And I thank you, Lord. We will see hundreds and thousands of people saved. We refuse to accept the lie of the enemy that it can't be done. We refuse it. We look to you, Lord, that you would show yourself glorious as you have in the past, and you would revive this land. Revive us, Lord. Start with us right now, but revive this city. Lord, I thank you. I thank you in Jesus' name. As Tony said, we're going to pray. And if you have a healing need today, then this is your time to come forward. And Tony and Carolyn, others will express faith and share faith with you that you'll be healed. But if you have another need, if you need a need today, if you feel like you're not right with God, do not leave this place without doing business with Him. And place a prayer right here. Come forward. People will minister to you. If you want to sit in your seat, if you want to stand, if you want to just receive, if you want to seek more cleansing, you want to just find His presence, do that now. He's really clear that He draws close to us when we draw close to Him. There is no warming up. The devil will say it's going to take you a while to find Him. But the good God, who's better than anything we ever knew, we don't know what good is. Our life is a continual revelation of the goodness of God. And when we think He's going to whack us with His stick, He gives us a hug. He's the perfect Father. The prodigal son came home to a loving father, open arms, ring on the finger, new clothes, back in his place. That is your place. There's no warming up with Him. There's no holding back a deliverance or a healing from you to give you punishment. There's blessing. There's life. There's love. And that's your place today. So whatever your need is, don't you hold back, because He's not going to hold back. You come and you seek Him now, and someone will minister to you. Thank you.